Nice of you. Thank you. Well, it's great to be here with you guys. You know what? I knew this wasn't going to fit. You know, the paper I had to cut because this is made for Europe. And our paper is even different. I was in the back cutting the paper to try to fit it in here. My electrical cords, everything. You know how when you guys go that way? Well, now I'm coming this way, and it's completely different. It is totally a blessing for me to be here because last time when I was ministering, it was back when we're off of Edison. And I feel old because I look at the youth that I used to serve, their mommies and daddies, and I feel young, but when I look at them, then I feel old. You know what I mean? But one of the things is that truly in the short amount of time, I've been in Germany 8 years already, and that's gone like a blink of an eye. But 4 years we've been in Herborn. And I'm telling you, God is doing something in Europe. Something that prior 10 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, they called Europe the black hole. But things are changing, and I want to report some great things about this work. But I want to also encourage you tonight, because when I look at this church, I just wonder how many others are in this room right now that are missionaries. You have been called. God has been speaking to you. How many of you are pastors, assistant pastors? You're here. There are wives to be that are going to be those wives of pastors that are going to be a key point to the ministries. And I'm wondering, who are you sitting in this crowd tonight? Because it's so important for the work, as we and you guys know this, as you have great prophecies conferences here, you see how close we're getting toward the end. And you know what? I say we need to press forward. We need to press as the Lord is about to come. And you and I know that it could be any time. So I want to pray and ask God just to minister to us tonight. And Lord, we do come to you now in your precious name. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for the saints in this room. But I think of the body of Christ in Herborn right now that are sleeping, getting ready to start the new day. I thank you for their prayers because I know they're prayer warriors. And I pray, God, that you would continually bless the saints over there as well. Lord, speak to us, I pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, living in Herborn is something, in case you guys don't know, it is one of the Bible Belt areas of Germany. So you got to remember, we're in Reformation land, but Herborn is in part of the region where God previously have done a tremendous work in that area. And 20, 30 minutes away, we had Luther debating Zwingli about the Eucharist. I mean, we have the big boys that have ran through our area in our town of Herborn. We've had reformers there that have done great work. But you go there now and you would wonder, what happened? What happened to this land that was once prosperous in their faith? And I want to talk about this tonight because we here in America, you here in Chino Hills, need to consider your faith even this evening. Because it was when Paul wrote, and I think it's very important because it's important to me, but I know it's important to all of us who believe, is that our faith, according to Romans 4:12, we are to walk in these steps even as Father Abraham walked. And I want you to realize tonight that faith is so important in your living life for Jesus. Because one thing I know here is that you are being taught the Word of God more than many other churches. You guys really, hate to say it, are accountable for that. before the Lord, because you have now received so much, and God, when He gives out, requires from each one that receives. And I want you to understand something, is that even with the knowledge of God's word, now we have to consider the faith. And I pray that tonight you would be stirred up in this faith, because faith is like the battery of your watch. It makes it work. And your faith and my faith is really more of a verb. It's full of action. And so I want to encourage you tonight that where are you tonight in your Christian walk? Because I was just like you. I came to the knowledge of Christ through a Calvary, and I sat in services for many years, and then I began to participate little here, little there in different ministries. And that is a wonderful thing. I think every person in church should serve in some capacity. And I began to do a lot of these things, you know, first is because when we were in line in that children's ministry, when there was not enough people helping, they said, well, sorry, or come and help. And so that was kind of like a forced thing in a way, but it got us in behind the doors, and we began to serve even these little babies. From there, we began to move forward into the parts of the ministry and ended up going to Bible college or Bible school, they called it then. And my faith was challenged. They said, in the school, you have to do a practicum. You have to go and serve. And so they sent me to a boys' home, and I began to serve there. And this stretched me, because faith is something that does that. Faith starts to move within you, and you begin to do things that you normally don't do. And so what happened is that I began to look at this, and I saw, Lord, what are you doing in my heart? Because I saw when I was there serving that God could use me. You see, maybe you're like me. Maybe you had a bad background. Maybe you weren't the good citizen of your area. But when you said yes to Jesus, He cleansed you, He changed you, and now He made you able to be used by Him. And I want you to understand that God wants to do something through you. He's equipping you here. You've come to this church. The word of God is going out and it's equipping you. You have knowledge of God. You know what to do. But now it's this key point of faith moving you. And this is so important, as there was no way. I want you to think. Just think logical with me for a second. Why would two Mexicans go to Germany? About it. It doesn't make sense. Why didn't God send us to Mexico or South America? You see, and more than that, you know what? Me and my wife, we met at age 13. It was at age 16 that we had our son. And it was 1973 is when abortion became legal, and they were telling my wife, abort that child, abort him, because look at your husband. I wasn't her husband, then your boyfriend. He is a typical mess up, and he's going to ruin your life. And so what happened is that we decided together to keep him. And I want you to know that God has used my son to start over 8 Calvary chapels, and he's currently pastoring Calvary Chapel Dusseldorf, where this church will be going this summer. Praise the Lord. You see, one of the things you and I know as believers is that the Christian is to live by faith. We know that. I know that really because I live in the land where that came from Luther. And it's so key there. And it's so amazing when you think about it. And it's hard sometimes, because living in Germany, I love my sheep. I love the people there. And I the old nature of me almost rises up when someone comes to my people and says, "Hi, Hitler." That I want to take them backstage and we'll see how high Hitler is. I want to defend them. I love my sheep. Why don't they say, let's remember the reformers who brought you the Bible? Huh? Why don't we go back a little further to this time where these saints died for us to have the Word of God? You see, yes, something happened in that land. And stuff like right now what Pastor Jack was saying, that certain people came in and they begin to change the laws and they begin to introduce false things. And the church was asleep. And you look at that. It's amazing as I live amongst the German people what I have encountered. And they're beautiful. And yet there was a time where the deception came to the church in an unbelievable way that I still can't comprehend it. And I want you to understand that our faith has to be continually mixing with the Word of God, moving, because something happened in that church time where they sat and they became silent to what was going on. And you know the story. You know what happened. And so it's the same thing what Paul, or the writer of the book of Hebrews, he was writing to them to make sure that they will not apostatize to the things that the Roman paganism was given out or Judaism was given out, that the Christians would stand firm in their faith. And this is something important. And I pray that tonight that we would stand firm. And you know what? Leaving your faith. Because listen, when this church first started, there's been many people that I love that were faithful at one time, and they're not here any longer. It started slowly. The drifting started this way. Yes, they might have even for a while carried their Bible, but they drifted. And you know what? They drifted so far, even now, I don't even know where they're at. They're so far out there. And I wonder sometimes where these beloved people are. Because I know God had done a work already in their life, and their dealing with Him is it has to be continually just something in their heart that I know it must be rough. But protecting our faith, if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, because Paul would say this to us. Ephesians 6, Paul says in chapter 6, verse 16, he says, concerning the armor, he says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. We have to protect our faith. You and I cannot miss this point, because I live in the area where Protestantism began, and where the people were radical. And now I see it in a different way. Do you know that right now the churches over there are trying to promote growth through all kinds of different ways? They're actually having, come down this center aisle on some of the churches, erotic dancing. Yeah, imagine that in church. Erotic dancing in church. They also now, because they want the next generation, because they already lost them, they have right in outside in the courtyard, adjacent a building that would, it looks beautiful. When you walk in, it's beautiful, and it's a full-blown bar. So when you go from church out of here, you could go get margaritas, daiquiris. What do you want? What do you want to drink? And it's all only to bring the people. And this is their method. And you can see what it has come from. It was one time at this point, radical, holy, the Word of God, dying for it. And now we're at this point. What happened? And I want you to be challenged in this. I want you to think about this. Because many of us drift and we don't realize that we're going this way. Unless you begin to take the knowledge in the Word of God and you begin to mix this. And I want you to understand something. Is that if you're not doing this, then there's some problems. Because as much as you're learning right now, Satan wants to take that away from you. I remember that. We have learned that. Me and my wife in a hard way. And I'll explain that in a moment. But one of the things I want you to understand is that untried faith is really a worthless faith. And you know what? Me and my wife had to come to this point in our walk because we were Christians for many, many years. Walking, we got saved in 1979 and we were walking, we were serving. But you know what? One thing about our faith is a progressive faith. It's moving, it's growing. And I know how easy it is to be able to sit and just receive. I've been there. I know it. I'm one of you. I sat in the same seats. And yet I see how God is using two uneducated Mexicans in a land of academics, Germany. I'm telling you, the school system is amazing. The people, I'm telling you, our youth group, the average is 3 language, up to 7 languages. Yeah, imagine that. And so I wonder, as I think about the times that I've sat for so long, wondering, Lord, what do you want to do? And when I begin to say, Lord, what is it for us? The Lord began to touch my heart and my wife's heart. And one of the things is that when it was lacking faith, the Lord began to do something. And I know He's doing this with you. Some of you are going through it at the moment. That God begins to speak to you and He begins to point things out to you. And you know what? You're going, no, can't be me. It can't be me. But it is you. He is doing a work. He's preparing you for a greater work. And it's something that we need to understand because our faith is unto faith. It continues. And you know what? Are you happy where you're at right now just in your Christian walk? I mean, it's one thing to be in Christ and to be, but are you the pressing forward? Or are you taking the chill pill and you're relaxing right now? Question. Because I see a philosophy that came to Germany is that they told them, you keep your Christianity in these walls, in these four corners. It stays here. You don't take it out. And at work, at school, nothing. And they listened to this. And it's amazing because I see the effect. But now, because they're getting the word, they're being challenged, I see that now there's a difference in their life. God is using them, and they're coming home on fire because they can't wait to go to work the next day or to school because God is using them. That's the big difference. I could tell you one thing. When I worked for the oil company, I loved going to work. I didn't love working, but I love my job because I got to minister. I saw my job as a place to preach the gospel. And I don't know if, hopefully you're doing that, right? Are you doing that? Yes? You guys are quiet. Yes or no? I hope you are. Think about this. We are tested in many ways to see where our faith is. And one of the reasons is because God wants to grow us up. But one of the things is this. Turn to Romans now, chapter 4. And notice what Paul would tell us in verse 20. He says, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. This is speaking of Abraham. But he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is so important that when our faith is moving, you're being used of the Lord, is that you give glory to the Lord and you're not taking the credit. That's something that is so important for every believer. Because when you learn this, and you, just like that song we sang, we're nobody, we're undone. And you realize that God is using you. You give glory to Him, He will keep using you. When you keep that in your heart, when you keep that in your mind, He will continually use you for His glory. And that is the best place to be. See, when I told Jack, I said, yeah, I'll serve here in Chino Hills as the youth pastor. Hey, there was no one else at that time. So I said, oh, yeah, all right, I'll do it. And you know what? I had a wonderful time serving here. But don't you understand that God was testing me in many different ways, seeing where my heart was at. But not, He knew I was learning. I was learning how to be a man of God, how to serve the Lord with the right heart, how to serve Him in faith. Never expecting that I would ever go to Europe. Never. Believe me. And this is the same with you. I don't know where you're at and what your desires are, but I know that, you know what, in this process, in this sanctification, God is working in you and He's separating you more and more unto Himself, and He's going to get you to the place that He wants. And you know what? Don't kick. Don't kick. It's not worth it. But when I think about it, being rooted and grounded. I came from a good Calvary, and then I came here, and when this church started, I saw a little piece of paper on a telephone pole, and it said Calvary Chapel Home Fellowship. Never did I realize that it was going to turn into what it had turned into now. But, you know, I think about many of you and many of the youth that I've served over the years. You have great homes because you guys are serving the Lord. You guys are coming faithfully. It's amazing all the ministries that are coming out of this church. That means you're active. But I see, okay, they're rooted and they're grounded and they're doing. That's great. But yet I know at the same time there's new people coming in. And I would challenge you. But at the same time, we need to be separated to the Lord and for what He wants. Because you remember, Saul of Tarsus, Paul, before, look at his pedigree. He came from a good Christian home, or Jewish home. And he learned the Bible. He's a son of a Pharisee. He's doing what he thought was right, persecuting the church. And yet, at this point, he was literally fighting against God, and he didn't realize that. And I wonder how many Christians, because I'm dealing with that in Germany, many come to church, they love God's word, they're studying, they've been studying, but when it comes to that next step of serving and stepping out and being used, they begin to fight and they begin to resist what God wants to do in them and through them. And I see that this is a common problem, and yet, brothers and sisters, you know how close we're coming possibly to the end. Why are people hesitating? Is what I want to know. You say, yes, you share about end times. You know what's happening. You see the nations moving. But are you moving? You see, this is what I'm concerned about. Because you know why? I look in Germany, we have 13 Calvary chapels. That's it. The Netherlands, 1. France, 2. They're hurting so badly over there. And I wonder, amongst all these Calvary chapels across the nation, where's our missionaries? And I don't want to, because I'm a missionary, try to press that issue. But I wonder, okay, you know what? There's big, great big parts of America that need more Calvaries. God wants to use you. This is what I want to tell you tonight. And you cannot say, I'm not qualified. Because who's qualified? Who is qualified? And I know one thing is that when me and my wife considered this, we came to this point, and I want you to read this with me. Acts chapter 22. Notice Paul. He says in Acts 22, verse 8, when he is knocked off his rocker, he says, "And I answered, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting.' And those who were with me beheld the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said," notice, "'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do.'" Important. That is something that should come from us. This very words right here. "What shall I do, Lord?" Because Lord is something that we need to consider tonight. Is he master of our lives? If we're a slave, if we're a servant, then we really don't have a say-so. We do as what our Lord has said. And that is important because one of the things that happened is that we were thinking when we were ready to leave Chino Hills is to go start a church in Colorado. And when we went, you know what? My wife feared snow. And when we went to Colorado to check out the land, spy it out, it snowed. And when it hit the windshield, it melted. And she was panicking, asking, "Where are the chains? We need to put the chains on." And we had no chains. So I just knew she wasn't ready. And you know what? I know in the ministry, you know, if you're married, the husband and wife, you know, that's a key point. And that's why husbands need to minister to their wives. Wash them in the word. Build each other's faith. And so I knew it wasn't time. So we came back and we came here and went on staff and served. And again, we went to Colorado again. And there was a few times that we went and we were looking, "Lord, is this what you want for us?" And it wasn't Germany. It wasn't Colorado. It was Germany. And so what happened is the Lord was training us. And I want you to understand there's right now times in your life that God is preparing you. Because listen, I born and raised in Southern California. What snow? Maybe up on the hill. Maybe. We went on a mission trip. And it was on that mission trip that the Lord spoke to my wife, and I was there, and I praised the Lord. Because it was the worst snowstorm in 10 years. And some of the guys here went with us, and the place we stood up was on a castle on top of a mountain. And part of that place, it didn't have any guardrails. Very dangerous. And we went up the hill, and my van was the van that made it up the hill every night. And everybody else would slide, and they would have to get out and push. So during that mission trip, people would fight to get into my van. And my wife was watching. This was God, totally. Because it was on that one trip down through the city that we hit a whiteout. It was just so much snow. And we stopped, and she looked at me, and she says, "I could do Colorado." I didn't have to do anything no more. I didn't have to fight her. The Lord took care of it. And this is what you got to, you have to wait for this. Let the Lord begin to do the work. So we made it up there. But now when we moved to Germany, I had to be trained because I'm a Southern California boy, right? And so I don't know about driving in the snow. You know, when it snows over there, they don't put chains on. It doesn't matter how much snow it is. They don't put chains. And so one night, I'm with my daughter and a girl from this church, and I'm going to take the shortcut through the forest. Now, when you come off the forest, it's a major hill, so it's razorbacked, right? Well, I've been kind of peeling out in the snow, sliding a little bit. My wife is hitting me. Stop it. You know, she's all paranoid. So I'm going through the forest and I'm going to make my first left. But I didn't. I hit this berm shot and we went straight because I hit black ice. I always heard about black ice. Never saw it, but I heard about it. And that day, I still didn't see it, but away we went. We were airborne, and we came down on this at least 2 feet of snow, just marshmallows, and just began to go down this hill. But I wish I had a camera. Because my wife, if we can see it in slow motion, she was hitting me while we were in the air. I told you so. I told you so. And at this point, I don't know, I guess there's too many James Bond movies, because she hit the button and she ejected herself out of the car. She went outside the car. I'm going down the hill and she's on the snow, face down. And it was a miracle because I turned the car around and, you know, I don't know how I came up the hill, but we made it up the hill. At the end, we had to push. But we saw my wife face down, literally face down. And they said, look, Martha's praying. She fainted. She was out like a light. Face down, frozen face. And I had to learn, don't play with the snow. God began to teach me about, hey, I'm in that land. I got to respect all the different culture, the different land, the different everything. The whole completely different. And I say this because, you know what, God wants to do a work and he begins to change you. He begins to prepare you in little different ways. You know what? And it's wonderful because I've seen this and I just know this is that the faith that it takes is something that we need to consider. You know, because one thing a godly man said, he says, too many are willing to sit at God's table, but not willing to work in his field. You know, and I want to encourage you because I know there's ministries and I know there's more ministries that are going to come out of this church. Yeah, this place is only beginning. What you guys are doing across the world, I have been, as a pastor, blessed by your guys' ministry coming. I didn't know whether to come up with the shield on this stage because coming up this year, Joey is coming to Hairborn to serve with us. That's, you know what? Be praying for him. Be praying for him because God used them in a mighty way in Germany. And I know God is going to use them in a greater way. And I know yet at the same time, God is going to do something in this young guy. He's going to be changed as much as the gifting and how God will use him there. He and Rebecca will be changed. That is what I see. I see the double edge of it. I see what God is going to do. And so I just look at the future of what God will do through this man. But one of the things is that as we move forward in faith, we want to be able to fulfill the ministry. And that's what I want you to realize. Some of the things, you know, like I said, there's hurdles, the fear of snow. My wife, the Lord totally took care of that. For us, my wife, one of the hesitations about going to Germany is that, okay, I had my son at 16. I didn't want to be on welfare. So I quit school. I don't recommend it, but I did. And I quit in the ninth grade. I started working full time. And my wife feared is that how can we go with no, we're going to a land of intellects, critical, analytical. How can God use us? It's impossible. And so when we were thinking about leaving, I asked Pastor Jack, is that, you know what, can we, you know, just stop for a period of time coming here? And we just want to go to different churches and let God speak to us. We want to hear the Spirit speaking. And not that it wasn't Jack, wasn't the Spirit not speaking. We already knew. We got confirmation from him, but we wanted some more. And so we went to Saving Grace. And I think most of you know Trent. Because Trent is dyslexic and he can't read. He sees everything backwards. And so we went on that one day. On one day, on the perfect timing, the very verse that the Lord gave my wife, we walked into that church, and that's the verse that he was preaching on. And when he was preaching, he says, wait a minute, God is telling me to say something here. He goes, some of you God has called out, and he's calling you, and you're saying right now, I can't go because I'm not smart enough, but how can God use me? I can't even read. And my wife was weeping. You're talking God speaking direct? Does God speak direct? He speaks direct. Are you listening? Is the question. For me, so I'm sitting next to her going, yes, yes, God, get her, you know. You know when the husband, wife deal, when the wife is going like this or the husband? You know what I mean. So now it was my turn. It was now. In Downey, they have this big festival for 4th of July. We go. Supertones is playing during that time. I don't even know if they're around anymore, but Supertones was playing. Now, you got to imagine, thousands, the whole stadium, the whole field is filled with kids. And they're jumping. You know how the kids, I guess that's dancing when they're jumping, you know. And so, in the middle of their song, he stops. He stops and he says, okay, I want you to sit down, everybody. And, you know, thousands of kids to settle them down. Come on. You don't do that. It's like giving a little kid candy and then telling him to go to sleep. It doesn't work. He settles them down. He says, okay, I'm not starting until you all sit down. And he finally gets this whole crowd to sit down. He opens his Bible and he reads my verse. That's all he did. And he says, and he starts jamming again. I'm telling you, it was almost freaky. It was like my hairs were standing up. It was like, how? But God does speak. And I want you, because when he wants to direct you, when he wants to send you, he begins to do things that nobody can do. It's him. And he speaks. And he wants to speak to you tonight. And he wants to challenge you because he wants you to be moving by faith. And it's amazing because now that we've gone to Germany, we have so many miracles. I don't have enough time. We would have to go much over. And yet, you know what? Just recently, my wife, the women's ministry, had an event. And this one particular lady came to our church for the very first time for this event. This lady and her husband traveled the world looking for the truth. She was wanting to know what is going to happen after death. And she traveled and she ended up in China, and she was there learning about their faith. And she comes home, comes to this event, and our guest speaker is speaking how she was an ex-Buddhist and how it's false and how Jesus is the truth and the way. And the lady broke down, cried, and says, I have found the truth, and it was in my own homeland. And she gave her life to the Lord. There's miracles after miracles that what God is doing in our fellowship. And it's true. One of the things is, I mean, some of these churches, they're big cathedrals and they got 50 people. That's it. They got big cathedrals. Maybe sit 1,000 or larger. And because it's the government takes Christian tax tithe. If you mark Christian or if you mark Catholic, when you start working, they take that money from you automatic and they give it to the Lutheran Church. And the Lutheran Church is, many of the churches are going smaller and smaller. And it's amazing because these churches might have 50 people, but they have 15 on staff pastors because they have all the money from taxes. You see the dilemma. You see the big problem that there is over there. The Word of God needs to be preached. It needs to reach the young people. And this is what we're doing there. Is we went to reach the young people, but a bunch of old people like me ended up showing up. And that's what I didn't understand. You see, I had it fixed. I thought, I'm a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor here. I was a youth pastor in Seguin. For sure, we're going to have a youth church. And it was a bunch of old people that came. You can't figure out what God's going to do. You can't. And I just let him be God and let him do what he wants to do. And that is what's happening in our little church of Herborn. It's been a blessing and God wants to do a greater thing. And he wants to do it through people who will walk by faith. One of the things I want to leave you with, and I want you to understand how God works in timing. Because even as Esther came in that perfect timing, God sent me. I was there willing and ready to come home. We went to Germany for 3 years commitment to raise up youth pastors. It was finished. Time to come home. Then the Lord opened a door. Our church started completely through a rumor. That's how it started. I said that I would go down there and help these youth down in my area. And those youth spoke. And I'm telling you, through the villages, man, the phones are ringing. And it went from Edmund's doing a little youth Bible study to Edmund is starting a Calvary Chapel. And it went through the whole area. And they were calling my senior pastor back in Seguin and saying, what is this? There's a Calvary Chapel starting down here. And then he calls me in the office and says, what's this? Are you starting a church? You didn't tell me. I'm going, what are you talking about? This is how it started. God's timing. I go down there. A church, a great church in the area, which was the biggest church, got involved in the seeker-friendly movement. They had earlier started one of the greatest prison ministry of the whole region. And even have a place where they bring the prisoners out, train them, and put them back into society. And get them involved, plugged into church. Well, through this movement, they said, well, our people are not comfortable for having prisoners sitting next to them. So you guys have to go. And they kicked their own ministry out. So the first thing is I came down and started this study. This leadership of the prison ministry came to me and they had a meeting with me and they said, we have to ask you a question. Will you allow prisoners to come to this church? And I looked at them and I said, as long as you will allow an ex-prisoner to be your pastor. See, because when I was a kid, I got involved in gangs. And I did stupid stuff, and I went to prison for that. And little did I know that God was going to redeem all my blow-ups, all my mistakes, and all the experiences that I've gone through in life. Like Joseph being in the pit, he is redeeming it at this point. And this is what God wants to do in your life. All those things, if you will allow him and you begin to walk by faith, mix it with the Word of God, he will redeem it and He will use it. I'm telling you. Because He did it here in Chino Hills. He gave me a taste of it when we were back in Edison. You know what? This orphanage over here. I forgot the name of it. Yeah. Right. Green Acres. Yeah. Or no. Yeah. Hillview. Yeah. We used to bring those kids, right? And I used to let my son and the other youth teach. And I was the hall monitor. Because you know how junior hires can be, right? So I was the hall monitor. I went down. There was a little boy sitting outside. And this little boy, he might even be in here. But this little boy had a sad face. And he looked at me. And I said, "What are you doing out here?" He goes, "Well, I'm missing my mom and dad." And I didn't know. I thought, whatever reason, that they were alive. And I told this kid, "Don't worry, your parents will come and pick you up on the weekend." And he says, "You don't know. You don't understand me." He says, "My parents are dead." And I felt so dumb. But I said at that very same moment, "I understand. My father is dead." And he looked at me, and then he put his head back down. And with tears in his eyes, he said, "You won't understand." I go, "Try me." He says, "My parents were murdered." And I looked at him and I said, "My father was murdered." See, my father was murdered when I was 5 years old. And at this point, me and this kid were looking at each other. And redemption happened for me that day. Because I never understood why this happened to me as a little kid. Why me? But I don't know, and I still don't know. But in that day in Chino Hills off of Edison, it all came together because I was able to minister to this little boy that no other person could done at that point. I looked at him. He looked at me. It was soul to soul. We understood the hurts, the feelings, everything. And I was able to hug him and hold him. And he understood. And you know what? All these things that happen in your life, God will redeem it. He will use it somehow. Somehow, if you will allow Him. Take the Word of God. Take the wisdom that comes from God. Mix with faith and watch. And just all you got to do is this. Is say, "What shall I do, Lord?" Amen? Let us pray. Father, we do come to You now. And I want to pray that You would speak to me more and more about my own faith. But I pray, God, that even for my brothers and sisters in this room, their faith, Lord, and what You want to do in them and through them. Lord, I pray that You would stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit within each one of them in this room. And God, that You would be glorified when they step up by faith, because You are pleased by faith. And so, Lord, tonight, for those missionaries, for those pastors, those assistants, Lord, those that will be great ministry leaders, Lord, even youth pastors, Lord. God, those for all these other ministries, Lord, that reach out to the community. God, I pray that You would now begin to speak to them. And like You did to my wife and I, Lord, even wake them up and speak to them. May they understand that, Lord, even as young Samuel, Lord was hearing that voice. Lord, that they would say, "Here I am, I, Lord." And Lord, but most of all, I pray that they'd be willing by faith to say, "What shall I do, Lord?" Bless them, I pray. Thank You for these saints that have blessed our ministry there in Herborn, Lord. Be with them continually. Pour out Your Spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.